You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I'm telling you, man, everywhere I go, I'm hearing this kid on the overhead speakers. I was at CVS the other day, and I'm hearing Steven Sanchez.
This is a good song.
He's so good. He is so good. So Terrifier 3 was number one at the box office over the weekend in North America.
Shocking.
Tis the season.
$18.3 million, beating out Joker Folie à Deux, which collapsed to third place. By the way, this movie is turning out to be a turd.
Well, I think it's turning out to be not what people anticipated. That doesn't mean it's a turd. It just means it's not what people thought they were in for when they bought the ticket.
That means it's a turd.
At least in the business sense of
it's going to lose money. It's going to lose money at the box office.
Right. Well, I was just talking to Quentin about this. I mean, I don't know what the appeal is about Joker. He's a homicidal maniac. Why don't they just, you know?
Well, the first one was brilliant.
The first one was brilliant. The second one is billed more as it's very artsy. It's a sort of like a musical.
I like the first one because it showed a personality to the villain, where we only get to see the villain side of it.
Yeah.
So I like the different adaptations that you can do. That's why I like the recent Batman movie, where it showed him as like the more detective side of things instead of just being the guy that goes out and beats people up. I really like that Batman movie. I like the different adaptations of stuff.
So Joker Folie à Deux has generated $165 million globally.
Mm-hmm.
It has to reach $450 million just to break even.
Keep going.
I'm not seeing it.
How do you even spend that much money on a movie to make it?
I have no idea. Because I remember when they made Waterworld back in the 90s, and it was $200 million, and people were like, that's just crazy
that
talk.
Broke that records back then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was all that water. It was the giant pool.
Terrifier 2, by the way, earned $15.7 million globally. Terrifier 3 earned $18.3 million last weekend.
It's because
there's three of them?
Yes, it's right. Unbeknownst to any of us, I thought this was a straight-to-DVD thing. But they then put out this warning last week where they're like, we want to warn everyone that people are vomiting in the first 5 minutes of this film. We want to warn you that it might just be too scary for you. So then, of course, everyone's like, well, let's go see it.
I mean, that's just good marketing.
It's great marketing.
Super smart.
I don't doubt that someone vomited the first 5 minutes. You know why? They probably had the stomach flu. And then the marketing machine glammed onto that and went, oh, we've got a vomiter.
Speaking of vomiting, did anybody catch the Cowboys-Detroit game last night?
Yeah.
Aiden Hutchinson, defensive end for the Detroit Lions, was carted off the field during the third quarter.
Nope. I don't.
You didn't watch it?
I don't want to see that.
Nope. Let's just say his leg went in a way it's not supposed to go.
Ooh. Was it as bad as Theismann?
No, it wasn't as bad as Joe Theismann.
Oh.
Okay. Q, you're the only one who's actually had the stomach to watch it. Can you describe the injury, please?
Yeah, I don't know. I assume since you can't stand that injury, you're not an MMA fighter. But this happens in like,
do I look like
kickboxing
an
and stuff like that? But what happened was he was in a block and then he got pushed. And as he was lifting his leg to get around the tackle, he slammed his shin into another player. And part of his foot continued to wrap around the guy's leg and part of his leg did not.
Oh, yeah. So it was like a tib fib.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
He underwent surgery immediately.
Sure.
That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
He is out for the season.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Ooh.
Yeah, we see those kind of.
Were you guys just lost that there was no Chiefs game this weekend? Because I sort of was.
No, the Steelers were on yesterday.
How'd they do?
They won.
Well, all right.
Did quite well against the dreaded Las Vegas Raiders. Tesla has unveiled its long-awaited robo-taxi.
Though fans,
I haven't even finished the sentence. Though fans of the electric vehicle maker will have to wait until at least 2026 before they are available, Elon Musk pulled up to the stage at the Warner Brothers studio lot in one of the company's cyber cabs, telling the crowd that the sleek AI-powered vehicles don't have steering wheels or pedals. He also expressed confidence in the progress the company has made on autonomous driving technology that makes it possible for vehicles to drive without human intervention.
I don't even know where to begin with the problems with this, and I own one of those cars, and you know how much I love that car.
You do love it.
There are certain things on auto drive that I am not personally comfortable with.
Have you ever used it?
Oh, I use it all the time.
Okay.
Once you start using it, it's a pretty slick
now,
feature.
You have to have your hand on the steering wheel,
right? Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And does it monitor your eyes?
It does. Let me give you an example of the moments that I've about pooped myself where I've decided I'm not going to use auto drive in heavy traffic. If I am near a semi, my personal driving preference is to get, if the semi is on my right, as far over to the left as I can without crossing into someone else's lane or the shoulder. Okay. I don't ride next to the semi with 12 inches between us, even though I have the right to do that because that's my lane. Auto drive splits the difference. And to me, for my comfort level, it is too close to the other traffic, period. I hate being close to other traffic. And I've learned things about my own driving habits through what I don't like with auto drive. And my own driving habits are, I move over. If you're next to me driving a fool, I get away from you. I don't want you anywhere around me. I punch it to go around. Where auto drive, I think, just assumes electronically you're safe as long as you're in the center of your lane. I'm not a center lane driver when there's someone next to me. I'm a scooch over, get away from me driver.
But when you scooch over, are you not, when somebody comes to pass you on the left, let's say you're on a three lane road, are you not closer to them than you would have ever been to that truck on the right?
I am an also avoid other traffic like the plague driver. So I punch it to get around the traffic. I don't like riding next to somebody because I assume you're on your phone and you're going to slam into me, right? And the other problem with autopilot or auto drive or taxis or any of that is that what if there is a dog at the same time a pedestrian or child runs out in front of your car? Who within the algorithm of AI makes the determination which way you swerve in a way that a human being would instinctively know you hit the dog? I just don't believe they've worked out those kinks yet. And there's no way I would get in the back of a taxi without a driver.
Well, but I mean, in fairness, how often do you see a dog or a human walking into traffic on a highway? I mean, it has happened.
Sure.
But it's rare.
Let me give you another scenario where I-35 drops the right lane before you get to 67th Street if you are going north.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be a lane.
Actually, and it's before 75th.
It's before 75th. Yeah. It shoves you over. I don't think my Tesla recognizes that lane ends because I've been in that lane before and that car is barreling on down the highway like that lane ain't about to end. So I move it and it says autopilot disengage. What happens? And I say that damn lane ends and the car is not recognizing that.
Have you ever used the auto driver in like a neighborhood?
No. There's just no reason to do it on a small city street.
Right.
It really, like if you're driving to Denver, it's the best gift you can imagine.
I've got the cruise control auto assist cruise control in my car. And I found that out on the open road, it's fantastic.
Yep.
But you have to, freeway. But you have to keep your hands on the wheel.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
But in the city, it's terrible.
I hate it in the city
because
too,
because it will drive for you in a sense. It'll speed up. It'll move you into the center. It will not recognize that this lane is going to end.
Does it recognize an exit ramp?
Yes.
Yeah, it'll recognize the exit
ramp. And it recognizes, hey, I need to get over, but there's way too many cars to the right. So what does it do then?
The Tesla sees everything. There's 1,000 cameras on that thing.
But if it's not safe to get over, like let's say that it's rush hour traffic, okay?
Yeah.
And your exit is about a mile away. It's trying to get over, but there are way too many cars to the right. Does it just
Yeah.
Say screw it.
You just keep going.
We're going to keep going.
Yeah. Okay. I've never done that. I usually take it off and then figure out a way to maneuver in. But Dan's right. The technology, Scott, we just aren't quite there yet.
Hmm. One of the problems is it is chaotic on our roads because each vehicle is moving at it in its own way.
Yep.
Nobody is working together. It is random chaos.
Now, if every single car had the technology and all the cars were talking to one another, I would actually feel safer.
Can they do that?
In 20
one
years.
One of those days, yeah.
Okay. But, at that point,
you've got Marge to your left, you've got Ed to your right, you've got a semi coming up behind you, and a car that I still don't completely trust will get me out of that scenario.
Like free radicals just pinging around. Yep. Out of 1,000 cars, you have 1,000 different reasons for that car to be moving.
I would take an auto taxi, but I would only do it if I was sitting in the back seat. I would never sit in the front.
Why?
Because I've already been through one windshield.
Yeah, I'm just not there yet. I don't think the technology is there yet, and I am certainly not there yet.
I mean, it's intriguing where we're going to be in 50 years or 100 years.
But these Tesla auto taxis have no steering wheel, no pedals. I mean, it's basically a 5-passenger.
When we get back, I'm going to give you a scenario. You turn up onto Tomahawk Creek Parkway going east, and Tomahawk Creek has just overflowed its banks a couple weeks ago when we had all the rain. Mm-hmm. How the heck is an autonomous car going to realize that you are heading into floodwaters?
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
So let me give you some more examples because I find these ethical, moral sort of debates fascinating, okay?
Okay.
Unlike human drivers who make a split-second decision on how to react when they see an accident unfold in front of them or an obstacle emerge on the road, an AV would have to follow a preset moral formula to make that choice. And here's a tough question. It would be rare, Scott, but tough. Should the car swerve to avoid hitting a child crossing the road, even if it means hitting a larger group of adults on a sidewalk? Well, think about it. Hmm. How are we going to program the car to decide? Because it will come up. It's not going to come up very often.
Or a human
yep.
in the middle of a highway that would force you to careen into another vehicle and maybe force them off the road.
Which is one of the next questions. Should the car prioritize the safety of its passenger over a pedestrian?
Yes.
Should the car make impartial decisions or prioritize human lives over animal lives? I would say yes.
Yes.
And then this one. This one is impossible to answer. The courts would decide. Who is responsible for the consequences of the car's decision? If you are in a self-driving vehicle in the back,
no steering wheel,
in the
no
back
pedals.
Seat.
Yeah,
the car decided to swerve and hit the barrier instead of the group of adults. Who pays?
Tesla. It's not my fault. There's
it
no.
Wasn't, it wasn't my decision. It was no your decision to get into the car.
True, but there's no steering wheel. There's no pedals. There is nothing I could have done.
Here's the last one. It's called the trolley dilemma. I had never heard of this.
Oh, I know what that is.
Yeah. The trolley problem is a famous thought experiment that asks what you would choose if you were the conductor of a trolley barreling toward two people. You got to pick one. How does the car pick? You only have time to swerve one way. Somebody's getting hit. What if it's male versus female? What if it's adult versus child?
In the trolley dilemma, there's another version of it too, where are you going to if you're going to swerve, you're going to put, maybe the swerve, you're only going to hit one person, but swerving puts the driver at more risk.
Yes.
Whether if you drive straight, you're going to hit maybe 2-3 people, but driving straight is safer for the driver.
Justin in Shawnee. Justin, hello.
Hey, I mean, what you guys are talking about is your basic philosophy 101. And the problem with that is there's really no right or wrong answer. Like, I remember answering the question in college and you basically, are you utilitarian or I think it's Kantian? I don't remember. But yeah. I don't even think we're at that process in asking the questions yet. For me, like, I'm not going to get into an AV at all because I don't have any control over it. Somebody else had control over it at some point and told it to do A, B, and C. I have no way of controlling that. I have no way of them controlling if they can turn it off, do some random update that makes it decide to update its DNS DLL file or whatever and get the blue screen of death while I'm on I-435.
Right.
Like, but
we're not even at the philosophy question yet,
but just let me ask you this. I mean you, me, Dana, struggle with this idea of getting into an autopiloted car, right? A Tesla taxi, if you will. But we don't even think twice when we're in an airplane where the pilot puts it on autopilot and he and his co-pilot sit there and just chat for 3 hours while this plane flies itself.
I would disagree because the pilot is at least there and they're the ones taking over when anything happens. If the weather is bad, right. if some type of alarm starts going off, they're there to assess the situation.
There's a human being there.
Okay, they're there to say, okay, is this because, you know, a switch is going bad or because we actually are losing oil pressure? Like, I'm going to trust that human to do it because I don't trust computers as much as maybe some people do elsewhere.
Justin, it's a great call. Thank you for it. When you start looking this stuff up online, the number of law firms that you are routed to would not surprise you. Already,
you're just lining up.
The law firms are positioning themselves to be in the, quote, driver's seat, no pun intended, when it comes to this.
They got this.
Self-driving cars are thought at some point, Scott, to reduce accidents in America by 90%. And here's why. 90%. It will remove factors such as distracted driving, that's true, fatigue, and drunk driving, that's true.
Right.
It offers increased mobility for people who are elderly or disabled or blind, like all of the things, medical conditions that prevent you from driving. But then the antithesis of that is everything we have just described and the big one that we forgot, hacks, cybersecurity.
Oh, somebody breaking into the system.
Of course. How do you prevent that?
913-586-7798. What do you got, Q?
I was going to say, you know what else would help people who have disabilities or elderly? Quality public transportation would also solve all those problems.
Yeah.
Really? You're opening up that can of worms?
Yes.
Literally as we're going to the bottom of the hour break.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
That's what he did. Good chat.
This Saturday, make sure you sign up. It is the 4th Dana & Parks Cornhole Tournament. It is at Serve in Overland Park. All the proceeds go to benefit the KC Pet Project. We have a limited number of slots for teams, so make sure you get in early. Go to KMBZ.com to register your team. Story here from Channel 41. A 5-year-old girl in Independence last week was mauled by a pit bull while playing in her backyard. Her name is Aletha. She is at Children's Mercy Hospital fighting for her life in a medically induced coma. She suffered a skull fracture, a broken collarbone, broken rib, and a significant loss of blood and oxygen from the attack. Doctors fear permanent brain damage. A GoFundMe created by a coworker of Aletha's father has been circulating to gain support for the family, said Andy Davies. A co-worker, Thomas, has said that she's strong. I'm assuming Thomas's dad. That's one of the reasons they're encouraged, because they know she's going to fight. Oh, there's a picture of her. She's so cute.
Beautiful little girl.
While Aletha's father, Thomas, is taking time off to focus on her care, his co-workers began raising money to support the family with all the financial obligations that are going to be coming their way. Now, this dog was in a backyard neighbor's yard.
Yeah, it's my understanding that the house is backed to each other. She's just out playing in the backyard, her own backyard, where the dog that was visiting the house with a boyfriend or something.
Okay.
Ran out, jumped the fence, and then clamped down on her head and neck area. And I heard the dog's owner came running out. This has sort of gone viral online because people are trying to make this about the pit bull ban, because the, you know, City of Independence overturned their breed ban about a year ago. Do you charge the dog owner? How does it's not it, nothing that we talk about with respect to the breed that happens to be some type of pit or pit mix. Those conversations never end well on this program. People are so against those breed bans. But then every time there's a story like this, I look. And more often than not, it is one of those breeds or something similar. And so, Scott, I don't know what the answer is. I think that I believe those dogs can be great dogs. Would I want one next door to me? Hell no. Absolutely not.
Well, see, I'm always of the opinion, and you're right.
Because it's about the owner. Do I know that you're a good owner? Did you rescue this dog? Was the prior owner a good owner? I don't know the answer to those questions.
But I would make the argument that any owner of any dog knows the personality of their dog. You know if that dog is super crazy friendly or super crazy aggressive. If you are the owner of that dog, and for whatever reason, I mean, I owned Stella for 13 years. I don't ever recall taking her over to a friend's house when I went to visit. Now, why this person, if the dog was not from that home that butted up to the backyard of this family's home, why would you bring your dog over to your friend's house, A? B, you have to know the personality of your dog, so you would know that it was aggressive. Why would you just let it out in the backyard unattended?
Scott, I don't know the answer to that question. I feel like every single time there is an attack of this nature, the owner always says the same thing, and it is this. That dog will just lick your face off. That's the first time anything like this has ever happened.
Yeah.
Is it?
No.
Is it?
No. It's not. You know the personality of your dog. You know that your dog is aggressive.
And if it's not, is there something in certain specific breeds where they can turn on a dime? And truly, you have never seen anything like this until it clamped down on a five-year-old girl's skull.
And what is it about this dog that, you know, dogs can be protective. They can be aggressive if they feel like they're being attacked or their territory is being infringed upon, etc. This girl was playing in a separate backyard on the other side of a fence. What is it that prompted this dog
to run, jump the fence, and attack the child?
Correct. And to your question earlier, do you hold the owner liable? You're damn right you do.
There's a dangerous dog's ordinance in Independence, an aggressive dog's ordinance, and a vicious dog's ordinance. But there is no specific breed ban.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. What do you got, Q?
I was just going to say, you know, to push back the whole pit bull thing, the problem with it is that, you know, there are so many mutts now, you know, it's like, is it really a pit bull? Do you just look at the dog and say, hey, it has a big head, does that make it a pit bull? So I think that's part of the thing, is like, what exactly is a pit bull?
A dog is considered dangerous, by the way, if it attacks and injures a person acting peacefully and lawfully, attacks and seriously injures or kills another domestic animal on property other than the owner's, or has previously been classified as an aggressive dog. In Independence now, if that is your dog, you have to display a dangerous dog sign, and you have to have proof of at least $1 million in liability insurance. That would not apply here if, in fact, the boyfriend was just visiting that house and brought the dog along. We don't even know if that man or dog lives in Independence proper.
Correct. From the text line, as a delivery driver, I can tell you it is a running joke that we make among drivers that when an owner says, oh, my dog would just lick you to death, that's when you run like hell. Okay. I'm still, and again, I'll ask the question again. Who brings their dog over to a friend's house? And in 13 years of Stella being in my life, I don't ever recall ever taking her to somebody else's house. Ever.
You know why? Other people's houses have, to a dog, different smells, different sounds.
Yeah. Somebody says they should make the owner put down that dog.
Oh, without question. No. At the point we're using terms like possible coma and
brain damage,
you know, lost oxygen to the brain, there's no question that dog has to be put down.
Michelle in Independence. Michelle, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I was calling because you said that you know your dog, but I have a bull terrier, and she's a sweet girl, but when she turned about a year old, it was like her hormones kicked in or something, and she just started chasing everything that was smaller than her. I certainly would not make any excuses for the pit bull, but I'm thinking maybe the little girl was making a squeaky sound or, you know, high-pitched voice, and he just thought it was prey, which I do not condone this, and that dog would be put down immediately.
But I see what you're saying, Michelle, because the dog did not live there, and, you know, maybe there's noise in the backyard, the dog, but it, to me, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. The attack happened. We all need to put our, you know, arms around this family. And the dog has got to go.
if it's not gone already. John in Kansas City. John, hello.
Hey, I'm calling to take exception with some of your arguments that you know your dog and whether it's peaceful or aggressive. And then also who takes their dog to their friends' houses. You know, my thought about that is that I was just at Home Depot 20 minutes ago, and I saw two different people with dogs walking through the aisles. People take their dogs to the park. People take their dogs pretty much darn near everywhere today. And I don't think it's unreasonable. I mean, who knows? Maybe they were dropping by to pick up the friend and their dog, and they were all going to the park or something. Like, to say that it's not reasonable to take your dog to a friend's house, I think is ridiculous. And then the second comment I've got is that you know the personality of your dog, but you only know the personality of your dog in the situations that your dog's been tested in. Yeah. And so you could have a perfectly peaceful dog that for whatever reason flips, and every dog that flips has a flip, it has to flip for the first time sometime. So it's possible that this is a peaceful dog that didn't have any experience of aggression, and this was the time it flipped for whatever reason. So I feel like your arguments are not very good arguments for this particular situation. That doesn't mean that I don't agree that this dog should be put down or that, you know, there should be breed bans or whatever. But I'm taking exception to your arguments. I don't think they hold a lot of water.
John, I like his, I like him weighing in about why couldn't you take your dog to a friend's house when I went to Home Depot and just saw two dogs. We have been very clear on the record on this program, sorry that we're going to offend some people here, that your dogs do not belong in restaurants or retail stores.
I agree.
Period. Unless
it's
it is an actual an actual service animal.
Okay, that's right.
An actual service animal. Not, I can't go 20 minutes without my dog, and I'm going to the Olive Garden, so I'm taking him.
I've always been entertained, to say the least, and I used to see this guy every day at the drop-off line at school. He would have his little cotton ball, fluffy white thing on his lap while he was dropping off his daughter at the elementary school. Can you not leave your house for 5 minutes without putting your dog on your lap to take your kid to school?
I always bring up the case about a year ago, and I think it was in Independence in a grocery store where someone brought their dog in the shopping cart, and the dog did what dogs do in the meat and dairy aisle.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. All right, let's go to Jack in Leavenworth. Jack, hello.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking the call.
Anytime.
That last caller said basically what I wanted to say about, you know, when you get a dog that's in a certain environment and you put it in a strange environment, you never know what's going to trigger that dog. And leave your dog at home. And I honestly believe that guy, the owner of the dog, should be held fully responsible. There's no need to take your dog anywhere unless you really need a service dog.
I'm not going to dispute the you put a dog in a different environment, they may act a different way. But you would agree, would you not, Jack, that there's a difference between my dog, is normally really, really friendly and is now growling at somebody in a new environment, and then a dog that jumps a fence and tries to kill a five-year-old child.
No, exactly. And that's why I say the owner ought to be held responsible completely. So, yeah, leave your dog at home. Seriously.
Amen. All right. Jim with a G in KCK. Hello, Jim with a G.
Hey, Scott and Dana.
Hi.
I have a 15-pound Bichon that I bought from Petland, and she is the most loving girl you'd ever see. But we also rescued a 10-pound poodle, and it's a little nippy, and I know that. So I do agree with you on you do know your pet, because I know my pet. And I am a responsible pet owner. I will not take them into a restaurant. The white one is a registered service animal. I will take her in Walmart. And if she decides to do her business in the Walmart, I carry I look like a guy with a purse, carrying water, wipes, everything that I need. And I actually clean the mess up and make sure it's sterile and go on. Some people don't do that. And I don't agree with doing that either, but you have to be a responsible pet owner, and you do know your dog.
Okay, Jim.
Something happened to that dog. The little 10-pound poodle we rescued was with a military guy that drove a tank, and he was getting married to a 23-year-old girl. She had three kids. He bought her the dog. She couldn't handle it, so she gave up a $2,000 dog to us for $200. And something happened to this little dog with a little kid teasing it because it is scared to death of children unless I tell her it's okay. Mm. I know my dog, and I agree with that part of what you said, Scott.
Okay, Jim. Hey, do appreciate the call. Thank you for it. Okay.
When we get back, I know we're all excited about cornhole. We want everyone to sign up at KMBZ.com for the cornhole tournament coming up this weekend. But there is a new sport that we watched over the weekend on ESPN Ocho.
I thought that was a joke.
It is not a joke.
No, ESPN Ocho.
And we looked over and I said out loud, there is no way this is a thing. This is so stupid. I actually said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And then I started watching it. I laughed so hard, Scott. I sent it to you and Sam. Q has seen it. This has to be our next KMBZ competition. It's called Slippery Stairs.
And they are off, but they're not running. They are slipping and sliding on the slippery stairs. How silly is this? And yes, we're going to have some fun. Cooper's in yellow. Shane is in lime green. Trent in orange. PJ in pink. He reaches a mezzanine. There goes Christian. Christian goes down. PJ follows him. So now we have Trent and Shane battling it out.
Let me just tell you what this is, Scott.
We've got a race to the top.
It's a set of stairs. A large, large set of stairs.
Covered in slippery...
Dawn dish soap.
Okay. Do you have any idea what the liability rider is going to look like?
Well, they are all wearing helmets. Because let me tell you, when one of them starts to get to the top, where you're supposed to ring a bell to be crowned the champion, when that contestant falls, they wipe out everything below them. Like an avalanche on Everest, bodies go flying.
Nobody's wearing a face mask. Teeth are going
to
fall out.
It is the funniest thing I have ever seen. We have got to figure out how to do slippery stairs.
Scott, you think your knee's hurt now?
We're going to need an insurance company for this one.
I'm ringing that bell.
Quick break. Dan Weinbaum has the news coming your way in 2 minutes. As she mentioned, don't forget to sign up for the Dana Parks Cornhole Tournament this Saturday at CERB from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can register your team at KMBZ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.